There's always so much energy that goes into Lent and Easter. Often when Easter is over, the pastor, with a sigh of relief, runs out of town and takes a vacation and turns everything over to those in the church. And this year I did that. Often the choirs and the music leaders and the lay leaders and everybody has been so intensely invested in celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday that when it's finally over, we all kind of sigh with relief and say, thank goodness that's over for at least another year. And yet Easter is not over. In fact, the story that we share on Easter Sunday ends with the empty tomb. And sometimes the appearance of Christ to one of the women, or the angels saying, hey, he's in Galilee, he'll meet you in Galilee. But the story of Easter itself, that first Easter, doesn't end there. It goes on. It goes on with many stories of Jesus' appearance on that very day. In fact, today's scripture is another scripture from that very day. That first Easter, when Jesus had rose from the dead, they found the tomb empty and he had appeared to the women, or at least the angels had, depending on which gospel you're in, and said that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so, let us picture this setting of two of Jesus' disciples walking down a road out of Jerusalem to a little town that I think is just about 7 miles west of Jerusalem called Emmaus. Perhaps it's their hometown. Perhaps it's just out of the hustle and bustle, finally, of everything that's been happening. Perhaps there's a chance to escape. Whatever their reason, they're heading down this road. And as they're walking, perhaps it's mid-afternoon, enough time for all the things to have happened, everything to have taken place, but early enough that they know they can get there before dark and before the evening meal. As they travel, they're talking with one another about all the events that have taken place after big events like losing somebody we really care about. Often we talk about and think about all the different experiences we had with them. And we say things like, remember when we first met them? What did you think of Jesus when we first met? Did you follow him right away? Or did you kind of wonder and hold back? Remember when he fed the 5,000? Now, I thought that was amazing. Perhaps they shared when they really thought this had to be the one. Perhaps they were talking about Palm Sunday and saying, you know, when he rode in on that donkey and everybody was waving the palms and shouting Hosanna, I would have staked my life on the fact that he was indeed the Messiah. He was the one. I would have staked my life on this was the time. It was all going to happen. I thought everybody was behind us. And that, you can see, when probably the conversation would have turned to despair. I never thought it would end this way. I never thought it could happen. All our hopes, they're all gone. Holding up one another in grief, they talk. Holding up one another in grief, they probably wonder what their future will hold. When a stranger joins them and notices that they're in deep conversation and asks, you know, what is this deep conversation you all are so interested in? And they say, with some astonishment, I imagine, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know about all of these things that have taken place? With even more astonishment, I'm sure they react to Jesus' question, what things? The things of Jesus of Nazareth. Certainly, Jesus was walking out of the town of Jerusalem, coming up behind him. Certainly, he had to have been in Jerusalem. Certainly, anyone would have known what was going on there. They must have been amazed. And as Jesus stood there, perhaps with a snicker hidden under a sneaky smile, listens as the story unfolds of just exactly who they considered Jesus to be. He was a great prophet, a great miracle worker, a great teacher. Everybody thought highly of him. He was even thought highly of by God. And then our chief priests, our leaders, our religious righteous handed him over to be condemned to death. And they crucified him. They crucified him. And all of this has happened in just 3 days. Just 3 days ago. And now this morning, some of our women, they went to the tomb and they have astounded us with the story they bring back. Just astounded us. They said the tomb was empty and that they had seen a vision that said that he was risen. They explain how some of the men from the group ran down to the tomb and found that indeed the body was gone. But you can kind of hear the disbelief in the two companions' voice, can't you? I mean, after all, with this great mystery unfolding, they're heading out of Jerusalem. They're not sticking around to see what happens. Obviously, you can see they don't think there's any hope or any future. Jesus is gone. No wonder they don't recognize him standing right in their midst. Some translations say God kept them from recognizing he was Jesus. I wonder how much effort it really took for them to not see who it was, since they had no reason to think it would be Jesus. They had no hope. Their story unfolds. Their bitterness and their anger and their despair pours out to this stranger, this fellow traveler, who doesn't even seem to know the latest current events of the town he is walking out of. So they must have been really, really astounded at Jesus' response to them when he says, "You fools! How foolish you are!" I mean, can you imagine they were thinking a lot of responses would have come out of him. Compassion for their situation. You know, we've always been taught that, you know, to be a Christian means to be absolutely positively as polite as possible at all times. You know, don't offend anybody. Just make sure you never come around and step on anybody's toes. And so sometimes, especially in the Gospel of Luke, I am just astounded at the things that come out of Jesus' mouth. Where's the compassion? Where's the sorrow? Where's the sense of weeping with those who weep? No. These are his disciples. These are the ones he's been talking to and training and hoping would see. You wonder who was having more despair, them or Jesus, wondering, how many times do I have to tell them? You foolish people. How long will it take for you to see what's in the scripture itself? Don't you know these things? You're probably thinking, didn't I tell them to you? Like how many times? And then Jesus begins to unfold to them that indeed the Messiah did have to suffer. This doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, that he died on the cross. This doesn't mean that it was over. This is exactly what the scriptures say would happen. And it says, starting with Moses and then the prophets, he explained all the scriptures had to say about himself. Now, Moses is the name for the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what the Jews at that time called the books of Moses. So starting with Moses, starting with those first 5 books, Jesus walks them through the scriptures that point to him. And then the prophets, like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Joel and Ezekiel. And actually, they consider 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings part of the prophets as well as Joshua. He would have walked them through all of those. They begin to grow in some understanding, and you wonder what kind of conviction they feel as they begin to think about these things that they had missed. And as they walk, they've gotten close to the town of Emmaus where they're stopping. And they urge Jesus to stay with them because it's getting towards evening. Now, this is very important because in that area of Palestine, you did not travel after dark. It was dangerous. You traveled during the day because along the roadside, bandits and robbers and all hid. There was no police protection around. And so you traveled in groups and you always stopped for the night. And giving hospitality to strangers was the utmost practice of your faith. So we can see that these two are practicing their faith and saying, stop and stay with us. Do not go on. It is too dangerous, is one of the things they were saying. So he stops and they break bread together. And the most amazing thing happens as Jesus takes the bread and breaks it. The same action of the Last Supper, the same action of communion every time we take it. He takes the bread, he gives thanks, and then he breaks it to give to them. And it's in that moment when they see him doing what they've seen him doing before, when they've come to understand what all of these scriptures have meant, when they come to see what's actually possible. Perhaps it's their raising of their level of expectation. Perhaps it's the action of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it's a mystery we'll never completely understand. But it's then that they recognize Christ. And it's also then that he disappears from their sight. Now remember, I told you, you don't travel at night. It's evening. They've stopped for the evening meal. And all of a sudden, they are full of such excitement and such wonder at what has happened, saying, didn't our hearts burn within us? Weren't our hearts strangely warmed as he went through the scriptures and explained to us? He was Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. He is risen indeed. And they get up at once. It's night. It's dark. It doesn't matter. They've seen God can do amazing things. And they do something amazing themselves. They run down the road, the 7 miles back to Jerusalem, to find Jesus' disciples. And when they find them, something else amazing has happened. They're already all a flutter. They're saying the same thing. Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon. And they say, we know he's appeared to us too. And they begin to unfold the story of what has happened. Amazing. You see, Jesus was pretty busy on Easter morning, appearing to his disciples and doing much more than we ever expected. It wasn't the empty tomb that assured them that Jesus was risen. All that assured them was that there had been grave robbers amidst. What assured them of Jesus' resurrection was the fact that they encountered a living Lord. The story didn't end on Easter. And it didn't end on our Easter. And it doesn't end today. Because just as Jesus was a whole lot busier that Easter, appearing to people, sharing the message, turning the world upside down, Jesus is busy doing it today. And perhaps, if we allow the stories of Scripture to unfold, if we are willing to allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ to explain the meaning of the Old and New Testament to us, perhaps if we look around and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal, we will find that Jesus is indeed still in our midst. The story isn't over. Easter is never finished because we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today and in our lives. The question is, will we open our eyes and see him?